Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tom Beers on the hotline right now.
Now, Tom Beers has done a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, he is the king of reality show. King of road.
Well, Deadliest Catch, Ice Road Truckers, one of my favorites, A Thousand Ways to Die, Storage Wars, which had this most interesting effect on me. Like, I'd be irritated by the people on it, but I couldn't stop watching it. But I would be like, I'm done.
But dangerous also, because I always look, I watch that show and think, well, I could look in there and find some hidden gems.
Yes,
I
know. Yes, yes.
Our next guest has become one of the most prolific producers in reality television, bringing us such shows as Monster Garage, Biker Build Off, 1,000 Ways to Die, Ice Road Truckers, and Deadliest Catch. And now he's back along with infomercial legend Anthony Sullivan with the new Vice TV reality series, Kings of Kush. Please welcome Tom Beers.
Man, how are you?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
Listen, after all that you've created, I love the fact that you'll get up in the morning and do interviews talking about TV shows. I mean, Jesus God Almighty! You don't ever have to work again a day in your life, Tom.
At least, I never thought this was work.
Yeah, right. There you go. Well, you've got a great mind for this. The Deadliest Catch was such a great show and still is, because you understand that everybody puts themselves into what they're watching. They want to believe they could be part of that fishing fleet or Ice Road Truckers or they could do the Storage Wars like the guys who do it. That's the key, right?
Absolutely. It's a kind of a psychological delegation. You know, I mean, most people know, you know, I always thought that you know what you're going to do every day. You know, you go to work, you go to the office, and you pretty much do the same thing every day. And you pretty much know that, you know, what you're going to get paid on Friday. And, you know, and it's good. It's a stable, normal lifestyle. But, you know, I think everybody, every guy in the world, and a lot of women, obviously, they yearn for something different, for beyond the inexplicable.
Yeah.
And so that's what these shows get you. You never know what you're going to get. It's high risk, so it's really dangerous, and it's high rewards, most of the shows. I mean, I don't think anybody at Storage Wars ever got anything more than a strained back.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of these guys are risking their lives to make a really decent amount of money. And I think that was always the key to it. And also exotic locations. I mean, I love, you know, nobody's ever going to find themselves on a crab boat in the Bering Sea unless they're really crazy, because that's a tough one.
Yeah, you know, it really, that especially the first time I saw it. Well, then my second thought, just being in this business, was, my God, these stars that come off the show, they make a lot of money. They become very popular. They can continue being on the show. The worst job ever, the camera guy. He's in the same goddamn boat for the same amount of time, in the same weather outside, and he is not going to be famous and not going to take home part of the money.
Well, that's like that great story, you know, about Ginger Rogers. You know, so, I mean, Fred Astaire was a great dancer, but Ginger had to do the same exact thing in dancing backwards in an high heel.
That's exactly,
you know,
right.
Kind of like the camera. It's like the cameraman. You know, these guys, I mean, they're walking backwards. They're, you know, they're stepping into those holes in the boat. And, you know, I've had cameramen, you know, lose teeth, break ribs. I mean, it's a time. Then, you know. Lest we forget these massive waves that are knocking them all over the deck.
Sure, yeah.
Top job.
Yeah, well, listen, then Kings of Kush, this new on Vice TV, and I love the idea that the guy from the OxyClean commercials, who's he's a hard seller, is now going to grow weed and have a TV show.
Well, you know, he and I did a series years ago called Pitch Men, him and Billy Mays. Remember Billy Mays, the guy with the beard that used to scream like crazy, OxyClean, you know? That voice, he had a voice that, you know, could wake up the dead. He was an amazing pitchman, Billy. So Billy and Sully, I made a series called Pitch Men, you know? So there, I had a long history with Sully, and when he told me he was going to go up and grow the CBDs, but he was doing it for a purpose, though, and I thought that was kind of cool, you know? He has a daughter, a special needs daughter, who was having a lot of seizures and having a lot of nerve problems, and they were, you know, putting the child on a lot of drugs that medicated her and, you know, and stopped the seizures, but also kind of took away her personality. So, you know, he realized, and his wife, the mother of his child, she's a doctorate in early childhood development. So they started really looking into what they could do for alternative medicines, and came across the idea that obviously CBDs, you know, really, really work for their child. And so he got so excited about the process and growing CBDs that he said, let's just get into it. Now, what makes the show fun, clearly, is that you've got a Brit, you know, who's kind of used to, you know, selling mops and detergents, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, and just out of the blue, he's decided he buys a 116-acre farm in Vermont and says, okay, I'm going to grow. You know, and knowing nothing about the business. And through the series, you watch these guys. It's all trial and error. It's all him and his buddy Dave Christian. And they just, you know, they make a ton of mistakes. But, you know, ultimately they prevail. And it's kind of it's a great heroic story of, you know, a man against nature and women against nature. And I mean, I just, you know, I love it. And I love the fact that they're doing it for a purpose.
Sure. No doubt about it. And, man, I wish, trust me, my liver wishes that weed was my thing. And I'm, you know, I'm always honest. I've done every drug I've ever, you know, thought of. But it's for whatever reason, since I was a kid trying to smoke weed, it always makes me too paranoid and dopey. And I love, though, the fact that we live in this age. And this has got to be weird for you, too. I mean, think about it. When we were kids, you knew if you got caught with a big sack of weed, depending on what state you're in, you might go to jail for a very, very long time. Now we can buy it. You know, you walk up and you go, Doc, I got anxiety. He's like, here's your card. Bing.
Well, you know, it's really funny. I have a farm, a THC farm up in Humboldt, you know, that I bought about 4 years ago.
No kidding.
Farm,
hey,
you know?
So.
And it's just kind of fascinating. I love the business. And I love the agriculture. I mean, but I'm a small scale farmer. I mean, I'm just growing on, you know, an acre of pot. But, you know, it's just an amazingly interesting business. I don't know about you, but that's what drives me. Is I just have this wanderlust for, I just want to learn new businesses and you know how things work. It's just to, you know, so I figure the best way to do it is to grow it hands on. But I don't smoke it either. I find it just actually puts me to sleep.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I just read this huge article on Humboldt and the migrant, all these like hippie people that go up and live. And what do they call them? The clippers or the guys who cut the buds. And
but they call them the Wookiees, actually,
the
up
Lookies?
There.
I mean,
they, you know, they kind of, you know, you kind of sit around. It's very much like the Latin workers in L.A. by Home Depot. You know, they just kind of, they're all sitting around a bus stop. So you need, you know, 16 trimmers in the morning. In Vermont, it's the same thing with Sully. These guys, they have this massive Vietnamese community up there and Cambodian community that, and they're there to, you know, they work the farms and, you know, so it's great. So it helps, you know, with a lot of migrant workers, and you know, so it helps that cause. But boy, they're incredibly efficient, and it's massively hard work. When you're trying to strip buds off of 60 acres of pot, I mean, or CBD, I mean, that's a lot of work, man, and it goes on for a while.
And well, and then those guys who sit in and they have the trimmers, the scissors, and they got to trim it all.
You know, it's different in CBD though, unless you're doing smokable buds, because these guys are doing fresh pressed. So they got this incredible, like, 10-ton hydraulic press. And so they literally put all the buds, but not the trim buds, and then they just squeeze the oils out of it. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, sure. It
turns into this resin, and that's what they're using to make their product.
With Kings of Kush. I'm sorry. I was back on Humboldt just because it was such a crazy story. I thought, man, that's a reality show in itself, those trimmer people. Like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. But you know what it is and it isn't. You know, it kind of reminds me when I was doing Ice Road Truckers, you know, when Nancy Dubuque came to me and said, look, I got this show, a one-hour special that kind of pops a number about these guys on trucks. You know, I think, so we make a series, And I started looking at it going, wait a minute, how am I going to make a series about all it is a one guy sitting alone in a truck driving in a straight line at 15 miles an hour. You know, like, there's not a whole lot of excitement there, you know? And I thought, you know, but obviously I figured out how to make the protagonist and, you know, an antagonist. And so that really, you know, made it work. But I'd have to figure out who the devil is and right. Guys sitting around chairs smoking weed and cutting shirts and bombs.
You know? That's great. If you're just joining the show, Tom Beers, and I know we're running late, guys, and they're going to give me the rap, but Kings of Kush on Vice TV, Spectrum, AT&T, UVerse, Google Fiber, all those. Man, I do love what comes out of your brain. I just think it's really great television, man.
Well, Johnny, hey, man, I love your voice, too. I mean, did you do that, the Roadhouse show?
Full Throttle Salute.
Full Throttle, man. You're that voice. I recognize that, man. You did a great job on that.
I am available anytime the great Tom Beers would like me to do anything. So thank you. Take care, man. I don't know if Jake, you told him that, but
you're welcome.
I'm going to pretend he didn't, and that he just heard my voice, and he's such an. It was made so impressive that.
No, I didn't tell him that.
Are you crazy? But how nice of that guy to throw it in at the end.
That is very, very nice of him.
Yeah. Listen. Whatever you need, Tom. What do you need me to do? Hand job you?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's a dude in TV. It very rarely strikes twice, and he just keeps banging it out.
You know, you would not believe what the voice guys get paid on those giant shows.
Oh, I would.
It's
imagine.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot.
A couple lifetimes worth.
And again, trust me, I would have done Full Throttle for free, and I mean that with all my heart. I'd never done a television show,
right.
And they were incredibly generous, and it was fantastic. But even that, like when you get to a Deadliest Catch size,
yeah.
Especially to get 8 seasons in, now it's pretty tough to pull a character out. So that negotiating, like these guys get crazy money and they're all so good at it. Like the first time, not to beleaguer you, but the stories of narrating, but the first time I did it, these guys saw, I had to do it from here. Mm-hmm. And it was to these guys in Los Angeles and they didn't know me and I didn't know them. And so I'm on my headphones and I'm saying stuff and it gets to the crazy part where you're like, I thought I was saying what you asked me to say, and no matter how I said it, it didn't come out right.
They start asking you stupid stuff just to see how you'll adapt to
it. And I was like, what's happening? And I'm soaked, and all I can think is I'm going to let down Jesse and Mike, who pushed for me to have it. And by the time I was done, I'm sweating. I'm
exhausted.
Like, and I'm like, by the 5th season, you're walking in, you're laying out 3 pages of dialogue in 15 minutes, and you're done.
But you don't know until you actually have to go, hell, just man. Hit me.
Who knew reading... It's so hard.
Me.